You can go ahead and turn just to Leviticus 23 if you want to. We're studying, of course, Leviticus 23 is the chapter in which it lists the seven different yearly feasts, and we're going to talk more about that in just a second. We're seeing the holy days, or as I've got it up here, we'll put it up in just a second, the Feast of Israel, I think the next slide. I'm not sure that's the right study. The first slide should say holy days. No, that's not it. Let me see if Mark can find it. It's a little bit. Sometimes it's hard to find the right lesson. The first slide should say holiday or holy days. The second slide should throw three things. And if we can't find it, it's okay. We survived long before we had these things, didn't we? There it is, right there. Okay, so we're talking about this study, the holidays or the holy days that God set apart, gave to the nation of Israel. Now, he did this for three things, to give them these days. Number one was to set them apart, to make them a unique people. You remember the Bible called them peculiar people? And when you see that, to call somebody peculiar is not necessarily positive. At least we think it's not positive. But in the Hebrew, the idea of peculiar was that they were unique and separate. And so it was to set them apart. It was to remind them of his acts and power and protection. Because when you go through all of these things, you remind yourself of the Passover and the unleavened bread and the first fruits and all those things. And then the third thing, it was really looking forward to the Messiah. And what we realize is all of these things, whether it's the priesthood or the sacrifices or the feast days, is really a foreshadow of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Last time we spent, I think, several lessons on the Feast of Passover. It looked back to the deliverance of God's people from Egypt, from bondage in Egypt. It was also reminding them, or it was a looking forward to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And so when we think of Passover, or even Lord's Supper, which we're going to celebrate tonight, it reminds us of what Jesus Christ has done. We're going to look at two more yearly feasts this morning. Yeah, well, I don't remember that. Yeah, there they are. Two more yearly feasts, unleavened bread and first fruits. We're going to see those and how they tie together. So there's a lot there. Now, let me remind you of something. We have great, great truth from the Word of God that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. Now, when he rose again, what did he do? We know when he died on the cross, he did what? He paid for sins. When he rose from the grave, he did what? Conquer death. Exactly right. So I want you to understand that there's a great truth that human beings will exist forever. Every human being is going to live forever. I don't even like to say that. Every human being is going to exist forever. Some forever. Some will exist forever with Jesus Christ. That's called eternal life. They will live with Jesus Christ forever, eternal life. Some will exist forever separated from Jesus Christ in the lake of fire. The Bible doesn't say they live forever in the lake of fire. The Bible says this is called the what? Anybody remember? It's called the second death. They go to die forever separated from God. And so the Bible declares that all people, that there will be a bodily resurrection, and some people will exist forever with Jesus Christ called eternal life. Some people exist forever separated from God, which is called the lake of fire. Now, when you think about the resurrection of human beings, the Bible divides resurrection into two big sections, two resurrections. One is called the resurrection of life, or we call it eternal life. It's called the first resurrection. There is another resurrection, which is called the resurrection of damnation. It deals with the lake of fire, and it is often referred to as the second death. So if I said to you there are two resurrections in the Bible, you would say the resurrection of life, the resurrection of damnation. One has got eternal life, it's called the first resurrection. The other has the lake of fire and is called the second death. And this morning, as we go through the feast of first fruits and unleavened bread and all that, you'll actually see a picture of resurrection. That, because if you notice, this handout has unleavened bread and first fruits. Unleavened bread deals with no sin. First fruits deal with resurrection. That's why I brought this up. So we'll see it as we go through it. Now, what we've been doing over these last weeks, and I hope everybody's got that written down, just two big ideas there. We've been seeing the different kinds of feasts. And here's what we've done. There are five types of feasts or five types of holidays or five types of holy days that we're looking at. We started with weekly. That was the Sabbath. Then we looked at monthly, which was called the new moon. Now we're looking at yearly, and there are seven yearly feasts found in Leviticus 23, but there are other yearly feasts that they celebrate every year, and we're going to get to those. Then there's some non-yearly feasts, which we're going to talk about and how they tie together, especially like the year of Jubilee, and the Sabbath year thing, and we'll talk about that. And then finally, we're going to talk about some special type of feast or holidays such as the wedding feast and the bar mitzvah and some of those things like that. We're just going to put it all together. So this study is going to cover a lot of different things as we go through this. Well, let me remind you, we have already seen the Sabbath day, the new moon feast, and the Passover. You remember the Sabbath day was once a week. They were to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. The whole purpose of the Sabbath was to remind them to stop and rest and to worship God and to think about Him. And they understood that you can't just work continually. And for us, even though we're not under Mosaic law and we're not under a Sabbath day in that sense, we worship on the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. Last day of the week is the Sabbath. But what we should do is say, okay, I do need time that I stop working, that I work and rest and work and rest. And so that's what we thought there. The new moon feast, of course, was once a month. It was either 1 or 2 days at the start of the month. And what it did is the nation of Israel, it made them stop and remember that everything they have comes from God, that He's the provider, because they had a feast on the new moon. And what we ought to do is, at least monthly, at least daily, at least everything, we remember everything that we have comes from God. The third feast is what we saw last time and spent several weeks on, really, and that's the whole idea of Passover, and realize that Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb. And just as the Lamb was slain and the nation of Israel was delivered from the bondage of Egypt, Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb, was slain, His blood was shed, and by faith in Him, we're delivered from the bondage of sin. It's really, really powerful. And now, in this lesson, and of course the way things go, we probably won't finish this lesson today, but with your input and talk, we'll have a great time. When we think about this, there's two more feasts we want to look at. They're yearly feasts, and one is called Passover, one is called Unleavened Bread, and the other is called First Fruits. Look at Leviticus 23. I want to remind you again, look at verse 4. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which means set apart days, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. Now, that's what He gave them. Verse 5 is Passover. Notice, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Now, we spent some time looking at that one. Now, we've moved from Passover. Now, we're going to look at unleavened bread. Look at verse 6. Then, on the 15th day of the same month, there is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Now, how long was Passover? How long? 1 day. How long is unleavened bread? It's 7 days. Okay, so remember that. And they're symbolic. All of these things fit together. So we're going to look at the unleavened bread. And we saw Passover, now unleavened bread. 7 days with no leaven. It looks back, of course, to the time of the Passover. You remember, why couldn't they eat leavened bread as they got ready to leave Egypt? Okay, leaven represents sin, but what else? They were in a hurry and they didn't have time for the bread to rise, right? So no leaven, just get out of town. Put your sandals on. They were to eat that with their staff in their hand and their sandals on. Basically saying, we're leaving. And they did. They left. They left in the middle of the night, as you know. They left in the middle of the night. They crossed over the Red Sea in the middle of the night. All night long, the water was held back. They crossed over, and it was in the morning time that they got to the other side, and God let the water fall back down on the Egyptians. Now, look at verse 7. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. On the first day, it's a holy convocation. Now, what is a holy convocation? Okay, go ahead and pass that one. I'm sorry. 15, go ahead. Now, holy convocation is a Sabbath day. Now, remember this, that in a normal week, let's think about a normal week. First day of the week is what day? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that is the Sabbath, right? All right, now, for the Jewish people, the word Sabbath means what? Means rest. So every week they had at least how many rest days? One. Now, sometimes on certain feasts, the particular day of that feast was also called a holy convocation or a Sabbath day. So what day, Passover is on what day of the week, not day of the week, but what date? 14th day. First day of Feast of Unleavened Bread starts on what day? That day is always a what? It's a holy convocation. That means that day is a what? Sabbath day. Now, if Passover was on Wednesday, what would Thursday be? At the Feast of First Fruits, it would be a Sabbath day. When you got to Saturday, would you still have another Sabbath day? Yes. Is that good? Yeah. So the 14th day of the first month is Passover. The 15th day of the month is always a what? Sabbath day. Always, regardless of what day it fell on. Okay? That's why Jesus Christ died on what day? What day did he die on? I can't hear y'all. What day did he die on? Passover, which is the 14th day of the month. The next day was a Sabbath. Do you remember they said they needed to get Jesus off the cross? Why? Because the next day was a... Now, historically and tradition-wise, everybody thinks Jesus died on what day? Friday, because the next day was Sabbath day. The next day was always the Sabbath day, regardless of what day of the week it was. So we've studied and shown that Jesus probably did not die on Friday. He probably died on Wednesday, if you're going to get 3 days and three nights. So just because the Bible says that they wanted to get Jesus down from the cross because the next day was a Sabbath day, that's true. The day after Passover was always the 15th day of the month and always a Sabbath day, regardless of what day of the week it fell on. So tradition-wise, people have always said Jesus must have died on Friday. That's why they have Good Friday. That's why tradition is Jesus died on Friday. But most likely he didn't die on Friday, because you can't get 3 days and three nights if he dies on Friday. And we'll talk about that maybe at another time. So notice what it says. On the first day, verse 7, you shall have a holy convocation. That means the 15th day of the month is a Sabbath day. You shall do no laborious work. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day, guess what? Is a what? Holy convocation. So the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread are what days? Sabbath days. So if everything goes right, you got 3 Sabbath days in about an 8-day time period, right? You're in pretty good shape on that holiday, right? You're saying, I got the day off, I got another day off, I got another day off. Okay? So when you think about the unleavened bread, there was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a Sabbath day. Then they had the 7 days, and on the seventh day, it was a Sabbath day as well. Not counting the Sabbath day within that week, whenever it might fall. Now, sometimes they might have fallen on the same day, but probably not. In fact, if you go back and take Matthew 12, 38 through 40, and Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Jesus probably didn't die on Friday. He probably died on what we'd call, it'd be Wednesday, which would be Thursday night, Thursday morning. That's how the Jewish people do it. And anytime what would be our Saturday night, anytime you get to Saturday night, that's actually Sunday night, Jewish calendar. Jesus Christ could have risen from the dead anytime after that, because he rose on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And when they got there very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he's already gone. So Jesus rose from the grave probably not at the crack of dawn, but probably when the first day of the week began, which would probably be sometime Saturday, our Saturday night. So it's powerful, powerful. Now, unleavened bread is a picture of no sin. Because leaven, most of the time, now there's a few places in the Bible where leaven just refers to something that spreads quickly. But most of the time, leaven has an idea of sin. And so this idea of unleavened bread, it was saying that, listen, you have the Passover lamb who's going to die and redeem us from Egypt. And now we've got 7 days of what? No sin. Because what we're saying is this represents the holy life. This is how we're to live. We come to the Passover lamb, and after we believe in the Passover lamb, we're to live what kind of life? A holy life. And now there was a dual aspect of unleavened bread. One, it pointed to Christ, who is the sinless Lamb of God. There's no leaven there because he's the Passover Lamb. But it was also a dual view that believers who come to the Lamb of God are then to walk in holiness. And so unleavened bread is a picture of living a life without sin. Now, we know that doesn't mean people don't sin at all, but we're talking about living a holy, righteous lifestyle, trying to live a godly life for the glory of God. That's what we're to do. So we get that. And so Christ was the sinless Lamb. As believers, we come to the Lamb of God. We're to walk in holiness. Leaven is a picture of sin, and leaven is a picture of holiness or no sin. Now, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, let me remind you something before Passover began. Now, sometimes when you read the Bible, you'll see it'll say, now when the Feast of Unleavened Bread was about to happen and they were going to have the Passover Lamb, you could say, oh, wait a minute, no, that's wrong. Passover's on the 14th, Feast of Unleavened Bread's on the 15th. How can they say it was time for unleavened bread when they hadn't had Passover yet? Because the entire feast, starting on the 14th, which is Passover, and going all the way through, they just call that the time of unleavened bread. The first day was Passover. Then the first day of unleavened bread was on the 15th, was a Sabbath day. But oftentimes they would just refer to it as unleavened bread. They just lumped them all together. And what they would do is when it was time for Passover, when they knew it was coming, of course, and you understand that on the 10th day of the month, they got the lamb 4 days ahead of time to observe the lamb to make sure there were no spots or blemishes and that the lamb was okay. They would get that, and then they would start cleaning out their houses, because on unleavened bread, on that feast of unleavened bread, all leaven had to be removed from your house, because you didn't want any sin connected with your house. And so this is in what time of the year does this take place? In the spring, and they would clean out their houses, and so that became known as what? Spring cleaning, right? You're going to clean out your house in the spring. That's what you're going to do. And the winter is over. Everything's fresh and new. We got to get everything. So they would sweep out. They would remove plates. If they found a plate that had crumbed, they would get rid of. They moved everything, and they would do that. It was to remind them to walk in holiness, and they would remove all leaven from their homes, and they would do that. And for Israel as a people, they came out of Egypt, and they would remind themselves that they were holy people. In Exodus 19, verse 6, he said, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." That's what he told his people. We're going to see tonight, when we study Genesis 46, that the nation of Israel goes into Egypt with 70 people. They're a family. They come out 400 years later with 2 million, and they come out as a nation. And he says, "You shall be a kingdom of priests." How did they come out of Egypt? They came out of Egypt by the Passover lamb. That's why when they look at Passover, they say, "Why is this night different than any other night?" Because we're going to remember how we were delivered from Egypt by the Passover lamb. We look at it and say, "You're missing it, but the Passover lamb is Jesus. And it's a foreshadow of our Savior, Jesus Christ." And this unleavened bread, we would say, fits to us, to believers, as living a holy lifestyle. It's powerful. So as believers, we come to the Lamb of God. We're to live holy lives. As the nation of Israel went to Passover, following that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The start of it and the end of it were rest days, and in it was the life of no sin. Now I have for you, as you noticed on your handout, I've got just a place that says, I have to go to this page, where it says some applications of unleavened bread. Is that where you are? We are there. I've got a couple of them just to throw up there. One is, when we think about removing leaven, we think about the Lord's Supper for us. Because when you come to the Lord's Supper, and tonight we're going to have the Lord's Supper, it just so happens all this fits, but when we come tonight to the Lord's Supper, what do we do at the very beginning of the Lord's Supper before we partake? We examine our lives to make sure there's no sin in our lives. Because the Bible, basically, Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 11 that if you take the Lord's Supper with sin in your life, your Heavenly Father will discipline you. And so in that sense that for us, we're going to come to the Lord's Supper, the whole idea of Passover, getting ready, that we have no sin in our lives, we deal with sin. The second thing is thinking about our daily lives as we seek to live righteously and godly. You know, 1 Peter, listen to this, if you wanted to write down, 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "Clean out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened, for Christ our Passover has been sacrificed." He says, clean out the old leaven, get rid of it. That's Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he's reminding them, just as they partake of the Lord's Supper, and they have to remember that they got to live righteous and holy lives because they belong to Jesus Christ. So if we look at the feast and we say, we've all come to the Passover lamb, right? We've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. All right, then what are we supposed to do? Then we're supposed to rest on both ends by living our life as a sinless, righteous, godly person representing Jesus Christ. That's what we do. So, powerful stuff. And so even from these feasts, which if you talk to the Jewish people, a lot of times they don't see the future stuff. They didn't see it because they don't see Jesus as Savior. But they understand what some of these things mean. Okay? So, powerful thing. Now, let's continue a little bit on, because if you look at the top of the next page, we go to the other feast, the Feast of First Fruits. So, everybody's got unleavened bread, right? Unleavened, no sin, feast day, holy day of the first. Now, I want you to remember something. When did Jesus Christ rise from the grave? What day? First day of the week, which was Sunday. Okay, so we know Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday because the Bible tells us that. When did he die? We don't really know, because if we take literally Matthew 12:38-40, it has to be 3 days and three nights in there. We know for sure he died on Passover. So if Passover was on Friday, let's go tradition. If Passover was on Friday, what was the next day? Saturday, which was Sabbath day, which was also the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then following that Sabbath is a feast called First Fruits. So we got a question we're going to raise to you, and I want you to think about it in just a second. I think we'll have time. Maybe not. Okay. Let's see. Look at the feast of called First Fruits. Look down at verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap the harvest, then you shall bring it sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after what? The Sabbath." Now let me ask you a question. This is the question. Which Sabbath? Is the Feast of First Fruits the day after the Sabbath, which means it's going to always be on what day? Sunday, because the Sabbath is Saturday. Or could he be meaning the day after the Sabbath, which is what day? Passover, Feast of First Fruits Feast of Unleavened Bread begins with what day? A Sabbath day. So, could it be this way? Jesus died on the 14th. The Feast of Unleavened Bread starts on the 15th and is a Sabbath. And the Feast of First Fruits is always on the what? 16th. It could be that, couldn't it? It could. It doesn't say it's on the 16th, though, does it? Could it be that Jesus died whatever day he died, and the following day after that was the first day of Feast of Unleavened Bread and a Sabbath day, but then there is the Sabbath day in the week, and the day following that is First Fruits, which means it would be on what day? Sunday. What day did Jesus rise from the grave on? Sunday. If Jesus died on Friday, it could have been the 16th, couldn't it? He could have died on Friday. Unleavened Bread, first day of the Unleavened Bread would be on the Sabbath, which was also a Sabbath. And then the Feast of First Fruits would be on Sunday. The only problem is, tradition says that's when he died, but the only problem is you can't get 3 days and three nights. Do you understand that? And I'm trying to remember, I've just read this and I've forgotten which one believed it. The Pharisees held to the fact that the 16th was always the Feast of First Fruits, where the Sadducees said, no, it's always after the real Sabbath in the week. So they were divided over how to celebrate this, because the Bible here doesn't tell us. It says after the Sabbath. Now, when it says the Sabbath, my first thought is, which Sabbath is it? The Saturday Sabbath. We know that no matter what, Jesus rose from the grave on what? On that day, he rose when? On Sunday. So he could have died on Friday, and it would still fit. But he could have died at another time, and it still fit. So either way, let me remind you of First Fruits. First Fruits is a picture of resurrection. What they would do is they would go out to the field. What did they do earlier? Some months before, they did what? They put some seed in the ground, and that seed died. And then it came up from the grave, or from the ground, and they picked it, and they took it, and they waved it to the Lord. And they're saying, this is the first fruits from the ground. This is resurrection. Jesus Christ died on Passover. Jesus Christ rose from the grave on first fruits. He's our Passover lamb. He's the first one to rise from the grave. It's very, very powerful. Now, let me show you this. This is what I talked about a while ago. It says the day after the Sabbath. And then right here, and I know time is up, the two views. The Sabbath was the 15th, thus the 16th was always first fruits. Or the Sabbath was after the Sabbath in the week, thus it was always on Sunday. If it wasn't always on Sunday, it just happened that the time Jesus died, it happened to be on Sunday. I happen to take the second view that the Feast of First Fruits is after the Sabbath in the week because it uses the term the Sabbath. I just want you to see that. I don't know if has anybody ring a bell at all? Okay, it's past time. I'm so sorry, but it's past time. All right, we'll stop right there, and we'll come back and finish it up. And then what we're going to do next week is we're going to look at these two resurrections. I want you to see how the resurrections fit. If you've never seen this, and I think most of you have, but if you haven't seen this, it's going to be amazing to see first resurrection, second resurrection, which is called the second death, and there are three parts to the first resurrection. And we'll see how it fits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And which we think about unleavened bread, it was the idea of coming after Passover and living a sinless life. And that's what we want to do. We want to live in such a way that we bring glory to Jesus Christ. Lord, we also think about first fruits, which is the picture of resurrection. And then we know that our Savior Jesus died on Passover as the Passover lamb. And we know that he rose from the grave on the first day of the week, which was first fruits. And that fits just perfectly, Lord. And we thank you that he is the one who died and rose again, paying for sin and conquering death. Lord, help us as we realize about the resurrections and realize that our relationship and our connection with Jesus Christ then determines which resurrection we will be in. So, Lord, help us to understand that as we look at that even next time. Thank you for your word. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.